I'd like to encourage you to take your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Someone once said, jealousy is rebellion against God leading in the lives of His children. It's saying that God has no right to bless someone else more than you. Jealousy is one of the most cancerous and soul-destroying vices there is. It is terribly potent, for it feeds and is fed by pride, the taproot of our fallen nature. Jealousy can ruin reputations, split churches, and cause murders. Envy can shrink our circle of friends, ruin our business, and dwarf our souls. I've seen hundreds cursed by it. One of the major causes of stress is combative competition, more accurately, envy. Rooted in the lack of self-esteem, it grows in the soil of comparisons and blossoms its noxious thorns of desires for what others have or what others have achieved. The jealous man feels others' fortunes as his misfortunes. Their profit, his loss. Their health, his illness. Their promotion, his demotion. Their success, his failure. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it's interesting that Paul will remind this church of the danger of envy and jealousy. And it's an attitude that so easily enters into our hearts and into our minds because it is a work of the flesh. And it was part of that nature that we have that God enabled us to be set free from its power and its influence. And yet, by it being a work of the flesh, it is something that we would all recognize that we put off as believers, crucified as we identified and were united with Christ. And yet, it continues to have its influence on us because of our very nature. Because of the influence that still the world can have with us and against us. And that's very prevalent here as Paul begins talking to this congregation. A congregation of a lot of challenges. Because many individuals who were converted had backgrounds and lifestyles that we're reminded how that sometimes, though we make the decision of influence of what took place at Calvary and respond to its love by becoming Christians, that it is a work in process. And with the gift of the Spirit in this new life, it is reshaping us and remolding us into the image of Christ. And so we are challenged never to quench the Spirit because it is an ongoing work. And it is a work that will enable us to be separated from the world and its influence, and lead others to a better life. Paul, in verse 1, chapter 3, says, brethren, I could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, and as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you still are not able. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal, behaving like mere men? What Paul is reminding the brethren here is that they have not fully put off that old man. And recognizing that because of spiritual immaturity, because they have not fully grown in their relationship as members of the body of Christ, that they still are being pulled down by this work of the flesh of jealousy. And it's very evident when you see division come among you. Here, the challenge that we have is to build on unity, of having the mind of Christ, of being one together in our efforts to be pleasing to God, to follow His Word and to enable the Spirit to have its full reaching power in our community, in our lives, among our family. And yet what we recognize here is they are limited in doing that. Instead of being united in the Word, instead of being united in their work, there are divisions among them. And it is a very real prevalent aspect for all of us, enough to where we ought to look at it and be sure that our attitude is right and that jealousy is not reigning in our lives, in our hearts and in our minds and in our relationships with each other. The first question to consider this afternoon is, why is it difficult to discover jealousy? Well, I would answer that by saying it's not. I can see your problem with jealousy pretty easy. I can see your struggle, and I can help you with what's going on in your life. The problem is, I don't see it in my life prevalent. I think it is something that I recognize that God has warned me about, and yet I feel like that I have put it off, and I don't see its impact in my life. You know, in Mark chapter 7, Jesus there in His teaching reminded us the source of our jealousies and where we ought to take a look and recognize its source comes from. Here in His teaching in Mark 7, verse 20, Jesus says, "What comes out of a man that defiles a man?" And this is what He adds. He said, "For from within, out of the heart, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries and fornications and murders and thefts and covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, all evil eye, blasphemy and pride and foolishness." All these evil things come from within and they defile a man. So when He talks about the source of our evil thinking, the source of where it originates, it comes from inside. Here's one of the most fascinating things to me about jealousy that we tend not to think about. And that is, when we make our walk with God and we recognize that there is power and influence that will lead us to temptation, that could lead us to sin, we may identify certain places. We may identify certain times to where we want to avoid being at the wrong place at the wrong time, because we know that we may have a struggle, and if we're there, wherever that may be, then we're fair game. So we stay away from certain places. Jealousy is not lurking on the other side of a door of some place that we may go to. Jealousy will come find us in our path of living. You and I may struggle with jealousy, but it's not in the same way. You may be struggling at your workplace with jealousy. I don't work there, so I don't have that same struggle that you do. That's your path. And individuals that are there, you may be jealous of their position of authority. You may be jealous of their paycheck. You may be jealous of good things that are happening in their life, but you love God more, and you're looking for blessing in your life. But you may struggle with your path. I don't have any kids in high school anymore. And I can tell you that takes away a lot of issues. That takes away a lot of drama. That takes away of a lot of activity that's going on and pulling and pull. And yet when I hear of your struggles with your, it's easy for me to remember what it was like. But jealousy comes to our path. And so it is our individual battle that it will find us and sometimes dominate our thinking and dominate our hearts, and we may not even recognize it as brethren in Christ as we come together. In 2 Corinthians, not 1 Corinthians, but 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said this in verse 20, "I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish, lest there be contentions and jealousies and outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceit, turmoil." And that's probably the morning worship service. You recognize here that they have not overcome what he mentioned in his first book. that he's still concerned that it is raging in their lives. Because when I talk about it following us in our own paths, well, this is the path we have in common as brethren in Christ. And the real danger is I need to discover jealousy in my life, because it can be very real in our relationships together as part of the body of Christ, just like the church at Corinth. And that leads us to the second question. How does Satan use jealousy? How is his experience as recorded in God's Word? And it is, because God's Word is very candid in giving us insight to personal relationships, to family relationships, even to relationships within God's house, and understanding how jealousy is being used. If you look at Acts 7, we could go back to Genesis 37, 38, and all the way to chapter 50. But here it is the sermon. I call it a sermon. It's what Stephen had to say that stirred up the Pharisees and led to his stoning, led to his death. Because the truth was not held back. And in this speech that he gave in response to their callousness, he began by saying, well, kind of giving them a history lesson. And in that lesson, verse 9, he says, "And the patriarchs," this is the children of Jacob that he's referring to, "the patriarchs becoming envious," being full of jealousy, "they sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him and delivered him out of all of his troubles and gave him favor and wisdom in the presence of Pharaoh and made him king of Egypt and made him govern over Egypt and all of his house." Now, he just kind of summarizes there the story of Joseph. But it's a reminder that jealousy is what jump-started being put into the pit by his brothers before he was sold, being put in a second pit later because of the wickedness of Mrs. Potiphar, and how that God was with him and enabled him to prosper. Abel lost his life because of Cain's jealousy. Remember that? There are times in which jealousy comes within a family and bad things happen. That's our path. And family life, there are times in which we make mistakes. We fail to see it and recognize it until it's too late. You'll see jealousy be used by when you're serving and you feel like you're doing well in the relationship that you have, and there is someone that comes out of the shadows, and now people find them to be far more popular, kind of like a rising star. And that's what King Saul found when he was full of jealousy over David. And it got to the point to where he hated David more than he hated the enemy of God, the Philistines. To where it ruined him and took him off the throne. What part did Jesus and his suffering on the cross have to do with jealousy? Satan filled the hearts of the religious leaders of that time, to where whether it was his message or it was his popularity, they were jealous. I don't know what the intelligent level of Pilate was. There's a lot of debate about that. But even Pilate knew when Jesus was brought before him, it was because of envy and jealousy. He picked up on that right off. Satan is looking to divide. Any unity that God has created, he's looking to divide. In Acts 13:45, we're reminded that the Jews saw the multitudes. They were filled with envy, and so they contradicted and blasphemed, and they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Paul knew that. Philippians 1:15, he even knew that there were some that were preaching Christ out of envy and strife. That when Paul was put in prison, they jumped up and they wanted some of his popularity, and so they began promoting the gospel, and the same thing is true today. Where you'll have individuals that will split churches, individuals that will start new works, and there are many that are started just simply out of jealousy, because there's disagreement about what we should do and how we should do it. And they want the popular way and they want their way. And you'll see it come in again and again and again. The question is when you think about ambition, and many a times ambition is that quality that we recognize that wants us to do our best. Even our relationship with God, we need more ambition. We need more passion. We need more desire. Someone has once said that there is similarities but far difference between being zealous and being jealous. That there are times in which our zeal will lead us to be full of ambition to where the next thing you know there is envy and jealous and division takes place. So, does ambition lead to jealousy that is harmful? Look back to the Epistle of James where we were this morning, not in chapter 2, but in chapter 3. In chapter 3, James addresses ambition. And he does that in verse 14, where he says, "You have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts. Do not boast and lie against the truth." Now, I said he's talking about ambition. What he's talking about here is self-ambition, to where it has gotten to the point to where it is my way or no other way. That's ambition that has gotten us in trouble. And that is to be avoided in our life. When we recognize sometimes the way in which we desire to excel. Why is it that ambition pumps us up? Well, sometimes it's because we want to be appreciated. Sometimes it's we want to be admired for what we can accomplish and what our capacity for good is. But at the same time, there are times in which self-ambition causes us to be motivated by jealousy. Have you ever heard someone say, when it comes to the ambition of winning and being recognized as the winner, "I just want them to eat their heart out." You ever heard that? That's a touch of self-ambition. I want them to be jealous. I want them to be jealous of us. God uses ambition. Martin Luther said, "God uses sex to drive a man to marriage, ambition to drive a man to service, fear to drive a man to faith." So ambition can be a good thing in serving God. James reminds us of this self-seeking that is joined together with bitter envy. He says, "This wisdom does not descend from above, but it is earthly, it is sensual, it is demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." That tells us we need to be careful. Proverbs 14:30, the wise man said, "A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones." When we reach chapter 4 of James' epistle, verse 2 says, "You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask." That first phrase there where he says, "You lust." He's saying, you're jealous. You're jealous and you can't have it. And so your response is you murder. You covet and you cannot obtain. In God's Word, when evil is motivated by jealousy, someone has said that there are two responses that jealousy will do to take care of what you want. One is you get so mad you murder the individual and that takes care of it. Second is you ruin their reputation. And once their reputation is ruined, then they're not a factor either. That's the ugliness of envy and jealousy that allows bitterness and self-seeking to come in. Then the last question to consider is how serious a sin is jealousy? Well, we've already mentioned it's a work of the flesh. And as a work of the flesh, look what Paul said about the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5. When he began identifying behavior that should not be part of our lives, he includes in verse 19, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, there it is, jealousies. Jealousies. So when he identifies it as a work of the flesh, then we understand it is an avenue that should not be walked with or followed in our life, because what he says about these works of the flesh, he says in verse 21, as I have told you in time past, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So we recognize that it is a sin, that it, as it's part of our life and continues unaddressed, it will impact our hope in living with God throughout eternity. And it's part of that conflict, that we understand it's not our desire to continue to have the works of the flesh as part of our life. We want to have the Spirit and to be filled with the Spirit. And that's the challenge that he lays out for us. We replace jealousies and all of these different attributes with the compassionate life that we have in Christ. Verse 24, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That means we've nailed it to the cross. We've put it to death. But to keep it out of our life, God has enabled us to have His Spirit, that as we allow the Spirit to shape our life, then He replaces these works of the flesh. Verse 26, look at verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, and what? Envying one another. If I've crucified the old man, then why is Paul bringing this up again? If I have been saved by the blood of Christ, and I have taken the handwriting of ordinances that were against me, and I have nailed my sins to the cross, knowing that Jesus puts those away, why does He tell me again? Don't be conceited. Don't stir each other up. Don't envy one another. Because you see, we can quench the Spirit. We can push God away. We can walk in a way in which we decide today Christ's not going to be Lord of my life. We can go right back into the vomit. We can go right back into the mud. We can be stained again. Romans 13, verse 13, Paul, as he was concluding his epistle to the churches in Rome, he said, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. He's reminding us, let's keep the garments on. Let's don't go backwards. Let's don't allow the world to pull us and have us to experience sin again. Let's not look at the cross and crucify Jesus afresh. Let us respond in a way in which we can recognize the importance of jealousy outside of our life. Someone has shared this anecdote as to how I can recognize jealousy in myself. When someone gets my goat, I'm probably jealous. If I get a sinking feeling over someone's success, it is probably jealousy. If I feel threatened by someone's promotion, it is probably jealousy. If I feel good when someone falls, well, that's probably jealousy. If I feel good when someone has bad news, it's probably jealousy. If I am threatened by someone's popularity, it is probably jealousy. If I'm threatened by someone's good performance, praise that comes their way, it's probably jealousy. If I am unhappy about someone's possession, it's probably jealousy. When I look for a valid criticism that will not let someone look so good, it's probably jealousy. When I criticize someone at all, it's probably jealousy. 1 Corinthians 13:4. You remember what Paul said about love? Love does not envy. There's not jealousy connected with love. And when I think about what I should do at looking at my own life, I think there are a couple of things there that God wants me to take charge with. And one is just be sure that love is dwelling in my life, because love and jealousy doesn't have a place together. And there's another attribute that I would suggest about jealousy that I feel is true. And that is, it is almost always because we don't think God has been as good to us as we think that He should have been. If we are jealous of another person, it's because we want the blessings God has given to him or her. There are times that we do not understand how He has blessed them and why He has blessed them, and we become jealous of what they have that we don't have. The quickest way to put that to an end is to see our blessings and to build our grateful hearts and to give thanks for what the Lord has done for us. And when we do that, and when we look at love, then let us take a hard look at our own life and see if we discover jealousy. And if we do, repent. Put it in check. And do not allow it and Satan to have its reign and to have its reward. Do you need to repent of sins this afternoon? Maybe not jealousy per se, but recognizing that sometimes we tend to walk on our own and we set aside God's Word. And so we're not convicted of sin. We set aside our time that we've been praying to God. And so we're not looking to humble ourselves. And it's an ideal time for pride and a lack of self-confidence comes into our life. And in order for us to look good, we need to sound our horn. And we need to take a sword and cut up somebody else in order that we look a little bit better. That's sin. That's jealousy. That's envy. God doesn't want to be part of His believers. If this afternoon you recognize that we focused on Calvary today and you recognize that it's the blood of Christ that saves and you're ready to begin that life of freedom, that life of forgiveness, that life of mercy, and walk with Him, we'd encourage you to do that. Repent and be baptized. And we would encourage you to allow Him to be Lord over all your life and to walk with Him faithfully. If we can help you in your sin, won't you come while together we stand and sing?